Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Paul Marzello. I am the recently appointed president and CEO of the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park. It's great pleasure and pride that we're here today joining forces with the Erie County Veteran Services to remember the tragedy of Pearl Harbor and to honor the brave men and women who served and endured that horrific event on December 7, 1941. So to start the program, would you please stand if you are seated, remove your caps. I'm going to introduce Mr. George Miller, who's going to be singing our national anthem, followed by Chaplain David Willard, who's with the Erie County VFW. George? That's worth applause. Thank you, George. Chaplain?
Uncover. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here to commemorate those among thy servants who gave their love lives at Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. Because of their dedication to duty, we will enjoy the freedoms we inherit from our forefathers. Because they served well, we are proud to call them our own. We ask that you're following in their footsteps, we may continue in thy service until thy summons comes. Then in the knowledge that we have strive to observe thy counsel and precepts, may be worthy of to be reunited with them and thee forever. Amen.
Amen.
Over.
Thank you, Chaplain. If there is a seat nearby and you care to sit down, please do so now. So it gives me great privileges right now to introduce Mr. David Shank. David is the director of Erie County Veterans Services Agency. He was appointed to this position in February 2016. He began working in the office May of 2014. David's work history includes serving 1 year as Erie County Comptroller and 20 years as Boston Town Clerk. David has served in the U.S. Army Reserve since 1988 as a healthcare specialist, as an AKA medic. His deployment includes Desert Storm, 1990 to 91, Iraq, Freedom Iraq 2003, Enduring Freedom Afghanistan 2010-11, and Enduring Freedom Kuwait 2013-14. He holds the rank of Master Sergeant and is the Senior Healthcare NCO for the 401st Civil Affairs Battalion. David's earned a bachelor's degree in management from Houghton College and a master's degree in health administration from Roberts Wesleyan College. His accomplishments include Erie Community College Distinguished Alumni 2017, Erie County Town Clerk of the Year 2012, Business First 40 Under 40 in 2009, a Bronze Star winner, a Combat Action Badge, and a Meritorious Service Medal. Please join me in welcoming Mr. David Schenck.
Paul, I'd like to say thank you for that introduction. I'd also like to recognize some of the docents. There are many of them here today from the Naval Park docents, and the Naval Park could not accomplish what it does without all their sacrifices and time and dedication. At this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Warren Galloway, who is the Vice Chairman of the Buffalo Naval Park. Warren K. Galloway was born and raised in Buffalo, New York. He attended school at Campus School and later Eastern Baptist College at St. David's, Pennsylvania. Warren joined the U.S. Air Force in February 1970. Just a side note, I was born January 1970. And he served for 7 years. While in the Air Force, he served as Air Police and a Procurement Specialist. Warren worked for 30 years in public service, including time at the New York State Division of Youth as an EEO representative at Roswell Park Institute and the Director of Affirmative Action Program at New York State Division for Human Rights as a Crisis Prevention Officer at New York State Department of Labor and as an Affirmative Action Specialist too, and Senior Executive for Erie County Executive Joel Giambra. And he retired in January of 2007. Warren's community service includes past president of the Buffalo chapter of Operation Rush, member of the Black Leadership Forum, NAACP, and Buffalo Urban League. He also served on Buffalo's Water Board, the City of Buffalo Salary Review Commission, and the Buffalo and Erie County Workforce Investment Board. Presently, Warren is chairman of the African American Veterans Monument Committee and vice chairman of the Buffalo and Erie County Naval and Military Park. He is married to Lynette Galloway, and they have 3 children, Warren Jr., Kimberly, and Kelly. Warren, could you please join me?
Good morning. On the behalf of our chairman, Terry McGuire, we at the Naval Park thank you for allowing us to be part of this magnificent program. 77 years ago today is when Pearl Harbor was attacked. And we're here to just honor those and to acknowledge the 2,335 military men who were killed during that attack and 68 civilians that were killed during that attack. Excuse me. You know, many of us have seen the movie Tora Tora. And during that movie, one of the Japanese leaders said, "We have awoken the sleeping giant." One of the things that we learned about from Pearl Harbor is that Americans didn't run away or quit. We came together as a country. Not only did many of us join the service to fight for the war, but many of us had to stay here in the States. Many of us had to go to work to rebuild the airplanes and to rebuild the ships. So it just tells you how effective that it takes a whole country that to fight a war. And because of that, that's commitment from not only the military people, but the civilians, the mothers, the fathers, the brothers and sisters who couldn't go off to war, but they fought in the factories. We had one of the greatest factories here, the Curtis Aircraft locally, who built many other emergency planes to go ahead and fight the war because we had many planes that were destroyed at Pearl Harbor. So we just want to acknowledge and to appreciate what they've done for this country and how it just takes a whole country for us to survive. And with this type of attitude, we know that this country will continue to go on, and when it gets tough, we know how to unite and become one. Thank you very much.
Okay, now it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Fred Scheer. Fred Scheer is a 64-year resident of the town of Boston. He was born in Buffalo December 3rd, 1923. His 95th birthday was this past Monday. Fred served in the U.S. Navy as a technician first class in the European Theater during World War II, 1943 through 1946. He is the oldest of five children and the last surviving sibling. Fred's younger brother, Raymond, served in the U.S. Army in the 30th Infantry Division in the European Theater during World War II. After the war, he married Phyllis Messner, and they had two children, Mark and Kyle. Fred worked for the New York Telephone Company for 38 years at the Elmwood Central Office as an install/repairman. Giving back to his community was always important to Fred. He held every officer position except treasurer in the North Boston Volunteer Fire Company, and he served there for 62 years. Fred is a member of Faith United Church of Christ in Boston and has served on their church council numerous times over the years. It is my distinct pleasure to now welcome Fred up to the podium, but before he begins his remarks, I have a certificate here that was prepared by County Executive Mark Kohlenkars, and it reads as follows. County of Erie, State of New York, Certificate of Achievement. Frederick Scheer, thank you for your service to our country and the United States Navy from 1943 to 1946 in the European Theater during World War II. Your dedication to our ideals exemplify the American spirit and its unwavering commitment to freedom, presented this 7th day of December, 2018. Signed, Mark Kohlenkars, Erie County Executive, and myself, David Schenck, Director of Erie County Veteran Services. Fred?
Good morning. I have to apologize for not having a tie, and I think those Chinamen make the buttonholes smaller than the buttons. I had an uncle that served in the infantry in World War I in France, and he said when it's time to come to go in the service, join the Navy because you always have your bed and kitchen with you. So when the time came, I joined the Navy on the 15th of February in 43. On the 22nd, I reported to Sampson Boot Camp. Sampson is located halfway between Geneva and Watkins Glen on the east side of Seneca Lake. The only building that still stands is all the buildings were wood, but the brig was cement block. Today it's a state park and it's a museum. I'd wanted to be a pharmacist when I grew up. I took college entrance at Riverside High School. So when they asked me what did I want to be, I said a pharmacist mate. Didn't realize that the pharmacist mates are the guys that went ashore with the Marines. They were the medics. But after taking the aptitude test, they said I was going to go to Radio Materiel School, which was a 9-month course in electronics. And in those days, electronics were vacuum tubes. And so after 6 months at boot camp, I went to Michigan City, Indiana for a month and Naval Armory and had a review of math and physics. And I went to Texas A&M College. And on the train we took, I think Jesse James was one of the robbers. It was that old. We used to pull off on sidings and get box lunches to eat. No facilities on the train, so when we arrived in College Station, Texas, we were a pretty dirty bunch. Spent 3 months there in a college dorm, intense training, 4 hours of book work, and 4 hours of shop work for 3 months. At the end of the term, you could opt to go to fleet or to aircraft. And at that time, I didn't think aircraft was that stable, so I opted for the fleet training, and went to Treasure Island, California, which was located between Oakland and Frisco, had been the site of the World's Fair. When I joined, the pay was $18 a month. When I graduated from Texas A&M, the pay was $78 a month. The train ride from Texas to California was in a Pullman, and we had all the luxuries that you had in the Pullman cars in those days. The course at Treasure Island was for 6 months, and it was hands-on training with all the electronic equipment that the Navy had at that time, and the transmitters and the radar. The image on the radar was about as big as a piece of barley, and you didn't know if it was a canoe or a battleship. I had 13, when I graduated from there, became a second class petty officer, and the pay was $96 a month. Left, I had 13 days to get to Stamford, Connecticut for amphibious training, and the 1st of April, 44, left New York in a convoy. Took 14 days to get to Scotland, and spent a few days there, and we moved down to Exeter, England, which was outside of London, and it was a huge staging area. And there I found out that I was going to be assigned to a British communication unit, so all my training that I had in the Navy was for naught, because we had British equipment mounted in trucks. And Cherbourg, France, was liberated on the 27th of June. And I had no idea where Cherbourg was, but if it sticks out in the Atlantic on the west coast, one of the finest harbors, they say, on the west coast of Europe. The Germans had scuttled six ships in the channel, so it was not available for ships to come in. On the 5th of July, we landed on Utah Beach and spent several days in tents eating K rations, and so much for bed and kitchen all the time. On the 8th, we moved into a French radio station. Had been a transatlantic station for the ships that were in peacetime. We had two officers that were in charge. We had one British Royal Marine who was like the equivalent of chief petty officer, and a Navy chief petty officer who was a radio man. There's two radio technicians, which I was one of them, and two motor mechanics. And their job was to keep the power running for the generator, or for the radio equipment. The officers used to have us pick up anything with Nazi emblems on it, helmets, guns, other stuff, and they would trade those for provisions from the ships that were coming into the beachheads, and to supplement the, at that time, then sea rations that we were eating. It was really a unique experience, because we had an agreement that as long as there was a technician and a motor machinist at the station, we were free to roam. We had a vehicle at our disposal, and we used to go around the countryside and check out stuff. The generator we had would nearly stall when there was a heavy load put on it. So the Navy brought over a Caterpillar diesel that had a pony engine that you had to start a gasoline engine and get the diesel turning. And on one of our trips that we took on the countryside, some of the fortifications that the Germans had built along the English Channel, we found a diesel and mounted in a in a room that had the ceramic tile. I had taken German in school, and there was a button on the wall that said start, and the diesel turned over just like an automobile today did. So the CB, excuse me, the CBs moved that to the radio station, and for all I know, that could still be running there. There weren't any church services or entertainment things at all. The Navy had a very small park. There was about the 20 of us that were at the radio station and two guys in the post office. It was an entirely different existence. There was two islands, or actually there was three, the Channel Islands and the English Channel, and they had E-boats in there, and they were bigger than our PT boats, and they used to harass the shipping in the Channel. The French and the English said it would take 6 months before they could open up the Channel, but between the CBs and the Army engineers, they had pontoons were about as big as this room, and they would tow those out and sink them on either side of the ships, and then pump the water out and tow the ships over to the side. So that opened up the Channel. They accomplished that in 6 weeks. Once the Channel was open, then the merchant ships could come right into the port. And Cherbourg had one of the best ports. They had a rail line that went right from Cherbourg to Paris. And people could, they would drop those people off and then they would go up the Channel. They towed over a large ferry boat, and we moved from the radio station onto that ferry boat, and they had living quarters and a kitchen, so we lived on that. And then we moved into the French Navy barracks, and things were pretty dull there. Christmas morning, when I woke up to go to breakfast, there were over 650 body bags piled up like cordwood outside the barracks. The Germans had torpedoed a troop ship, the USS Leopoldville, and supposedly the largest single tragedy of the war. A couple years ago, on Memorial Day, was on a Sunday, and I was a liturgist at church. I mentioned that story, and we had a brass quintet that played that day, and after the service, a guy came up to me and said his father-in-law was one of the survivors of that. He had spent 2 hours in the English Channel and was rescued. The picture that's on the back here was what we wore all the time. My dress blues were in the bottom of the sea bag, but we never ever had an opportunity to wear them. And in April, I had a chance to go to England for 7 days of R&R, and that was the first time my blues came out of the sea bag. Just VA Day, or VE Day was May 8th, and a couple of days before, one of the radio men brought me a message in German, and he said, "Can you read this?" And it said that hostilities would cease on May 8th, so we knew the war was over. Left Cherbourg on the 27th of June, and come home for 30 days leave. On the 1st of 1945, January 1st, everybody got an increase, so I got promoted to first class petty officer, and the pay was $114, and you had 10% for overseas duty, so it was $125. When I was home on leave, I got a letter saying that I was to go to Philadelphia and pick up a DE. And when I got to Philadelphia, the ship had already left for Boston. But I had a reunion with some of my guys that I'd been in Cherbourg with, and the base was huge. And they had ice cream parlors and movies, and so on. VJ Day, I think, was on the 14th of August. And that particular day, there was a ball game between Navy Waves and civilian employees that we wanted to see. And there was a good movie that night at the theater, so we opted to stay on the base and missed all the celebrations in Philadelphia that night. The Navy had a point system. You had 10 points if you had dependents, 1 point for every month you serve, and a half a point for every month you serve overseas. And then some rates were critical, so I didn't get out right away. I boarded the ship on the, I think it was the 18th of August in Boston, and we left Boston and cruised around in the Atlantic and wound up in September at Miami Beach. And they used to leave a third of the crew on what we called on the beach, and we were replaced by that many newly commissioned ensigns. And so we sailed in the Caribbean, didn't stop at any place, but sometimes the officer, captain, would drop the anchor and put a little ship over, a little boat over the side, and we'd swim in the Caribbean. In October, we moved to Baltimore. During the 30s, there were two luxury passenger boats on the Great Lakes, and I was 17 when I graduated, so I couldn't get a job in a factory, so I went to Tech High School and took industrial chemistry, and I got a job in the lab at Buffalo, at General Mills Flour on Michigan Avenue. And from the lab window, we could see them taking the superstructure off one of those luxury ships and converting it to an aircraft carrier. In Baltimore, we used to leave the port, weather permitting, and we would follow one of that type of carrier, and guys flew off from a base in Delaware and practiced landings, and our job was to pick them up if they didn't make the landing. Fortunately, that never happened. But I thought it was the ship that they had converted in Buffalo, and I found out that wasn't the case, that that never left the Great Lakes, but it was the ship that President Bush just passed away, that he practiced landings on at Great Lakes Navy Station. In March, I left Baltimore and reported to Sampson, where I started. I was discharged on the 20th of March that year. The ship I was on, the Solar, was being converted to an underwater test ship, and they went to Bayonne, New Jersey. And while they were there, a guy dropped a 5-inch shell, and it exploded and killed five of my shipmates. And they had to tow it out to the Atlantic and sink it. I had a good opportunity last year when the Little Rock was here, and a friend of mine said, "Let's go down and see if we can see the ship." It was the Thursday before they commissioned, and it was really cold. And guy at the door said, "You can't come in unless you have special permission." So he said, "But come in out of the cold." And in conversation with him, I told him I'd been in the service. He said, "Come back in a half hour, I'm on watch." Well, he gave the three of us a guided tour of the Little Rock. And it was really the technology compared to the ship I was just amazing. So I thought it was a sort of a unique experience, a lot different than most of my friends that had been in the service, and I thank you for having me.
Well, Fred, I must say you definitely had one heck of an experience. Yeah, on behalf of the Naval Park and also the County of Erie, we deeply thank you for your service, for our fight for freedom back then, and it was a huge contribution. Thank you. Now we're going to move on to placing of the wreaths. I'm looking for Docents Paul Enzer and John Nussbaum. That was Dan Priori playing taps. If you could remain standing, I'd like to invite up George Miller in the singing of God Bless America. And that will be immediately followed by the benediction, David Willard, chaplain, Erie County VFW. George?
You can all join me, okay? As we think of President Bush, the 41st president, we're thankful. I spent almost 20 years on and off in East Africa. And I can't thank you that this country and what our soldiers went through to give us freedom like we have in America. It's the greatest country on this earth, and we should all be proud of America. Join me, would you please?
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Uncover. May the Lord our God bless us all present here to memorialize those who lived and died to preserve liberty and freedom to our nation and the world. And may the Lord God remember all those who sacrificed, gave this nation its greatness, progress, and riches. May our memory and all those who served in the armed forces be honorable, one full of thanksgiving to the Lord, and remember with much love and mercy those who died in the service of our country, whether on the air or on land or in the sea. Be with us and provide us with travel mercy as we return to our homes. Amen.
Amen.
Cover.
So at this point, I would like to extend a hand of appreciation for Paul Marzullo, the new president and CEO of the Naval Park. We worked jointly on this event. I hope everyone enjoyed it. This concludes our service, except for one very important thing. We have coffee and donut holes over here, and we desperately need everyone's help to make sure they all get consumed. Thank you, and have a good day.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.